everyone. Good evening. Welcome to my talk. Today, we'll be discussing about testing Kubernetes on a bespoke cloud and using KubeTest 2 for that. So before we get started, I'll give a brief introduction about myself. My name is Priyanka Sagu. I work at SUSE as a Kubernetes integration engineer. And I've also been part of the upstream Kubernetes project for a while now. Currently, I hold the technical lead position for SigContribix. Before we get started with the main portion of the talk, which is talking about KubeTest 2 and how to expand it, I want to first discuss a bit about what Kubernetes end-to-end testing actually looks like. So, in the upstream Kubernetes project, we use GitHub to maintain our source code. So the source code of entire Kubernetes project and its sub-project sits inside various different GitHub repositories. We also receive various contributions, code contributions from the community. And every time we receive code changes into the Kubernetes code base, we need to test them to understand whether those code changes are good or are not bringing any breaking changes, et cetera, et cetera. So how we do that is whenever somebody creates a PR to add any code changes, we check out the state of the said repo with the changes that are coming from the PR. And from that state, we create fresh Kubernetes binaries out of them. And using those binaries, we create a test Kubernetes cluster. So we set up our new test environment using Kubernetes binaries that we just built, which are also including the new code changes. Now, inside this newly built up, newly spun up Kubernetes cluster, we run various test cases respective to the code changes that we are getting from the PR. And we keep collecting the logs and the results of those test cases. And finally, when the test is concluded, or the tests are finished, what we get at the end of the entire test duration is the results of the test, which we can then use to come to a decision whether the code changes that are coming from the PR are good to go ahead, or are they breaking and require any further changes, and so on. So for helping us to do all this entire testing, what we use is a tool called KubeTest 2. So let's try to understand what is KubeTest 2. KubeTest 2 is a framework, a testing framework maintained by the upstream Kubernetes SIG testing. This is a framework for deploying Kubernetes clusters and then execute end-to-end tests inside them. So how it does that is by the cluster configuration. So KubeTest 2 allows us to build the source code, build the binaries from the source code, which is bringing new code changes, and then use those binaries to spin up or deploy test environments, in this case, Kubernetes clusters, as well as then perform end-to-end testing inside that and keep collecting logs during the duration of those end-to-end tests. And finally, when we are finished with our test suites, we need to dispose of the test environment, so KubeTest 2 helps there as well. So we do all these three things across four different steps of KubeTest 2, which is first one is build, where KubeTest 2 helps us to build the binaries from the source code. Then we have the up phase, where KubeTest 2 uses the newly built binaries and executables to spin up a new test environment, a Kubernetes cluster. And then using various KubeTest 2 plugins, we can perform end-to-end testing, different scenarios of end-to-end testing. And meanwhile, KubeTest 2 also keeps collecting logs. And then finally, when we are finished with our testing requirements, it helps us to spin down or decommission our test environment. So that's how the entire workflow of KubeTest 2 looks like, from build up, test, and down. Let's see what's the architecture of KubeTest 2. KubeTest 2 is split into three different independent executables. The first one is KubeTest 2 itself, which is the main binary. It's a standalone bare executable. On its own, it does not do anything. Like here, if we see, we have installed KubeTest 2, for example. What it is giving us is it's trying to look for deployers and testers. So deployers and testers are different executables that will help us to deploy test environments and then perform tests on them using testers. So here in this case, on its own, KubeTest 2 does not come up with any deployers and testers. Then we have to plug in deployers. So KubeTest 2 follows a plugin paradigm, plugin mechanism, and how it does is it looks for binaries in a standardized format, named in a standardized format. So for example, here we have a binary called kubetest2-deployer1 or any kubetest2-deployer name. So if KubeTest 2 finds a binary like this in its path, it would detect it as one of the deployers available to it. Similarly, if we have any binaries with a standardized format, formatted name called kubetest2-tester-tester1, it will start detecting that as another tester available to itself. So these three binaries work together for us to give us this entire cluster lifecycle that we require for our end-to-end testing requirements. We can add multiple deployers. For example, here we have deployer 1, deployer 2, deployer 3 available to KubeTest 2. Similarly, testers, tester 1, tester 2, and tester 3. And how to run a KubeTest 2 test, our entire lifecycle. So we start by writing the KubeTest 2 command itself. And in front of that, we mention the name of the deployer, followed by the up, down flags to deploy and bring it down at the end of the cycle of Kubernetes cluster. And then we give it a test flag, followed by the name of the tester and the test arguments to tell KubeTest what kind of tester it has to use to perform the end-to-end testing, as well as what tests it has to perform. So for example, here we have a test from the upstream Kubernetes project, which is using a GKE deployer to spin up a new GKE cluster in Google Cloud Platform. It is performing conformance tests. So here we have given it Ginkgo as a tester, followed by the test arguments asking it to go ahead and look for conformance tests. With that, let's see how the upstream Kubernetes project integrates KubeTest 2 with Prow. So as a user, we interact with the upstream Kubernetes project using its various org and repos for different sub-projects. We create PRs and issues. And if on one of those PRs, for example, we write a comment like /test all to start performing tests on the code changes that we are proposing through our PRs. That's where another component called Prow comes in the picture. Prow is a CI/CD system, a CI/CD tool built by the upstream Kubernetes project for their testing requirements as well as all other automation requirements. So there is a in Prow, the Prow infrastructure looks like we have a Prow service cluster as well as Prow build cluster. We can understand that with the Kubernetes itself. Like in Kubernetes, we have master nodes and worker nodes, and in master node, all the control plane stuff sits inside the master node, as well as where we schedule our workload is the worker nodes. So similarly, in Prow, there is a service cluster, which is a Kubernetes cluster itself. And inside that service cluster, all the Prow machinery sits. And there is a build cluster where all the jobs, all the CI/CD jobs are scheduled in. So in this case, whenever we write a comment like /test all, the Prow service cluster listens to those events that are generated through those GitHub comments and respond to them by scheduling prow jobs or prow CI/CD jobs on one of the build clusters. And since a build cluster is essentially a Kubernetes cluster, so whenever we say we are scheduling a CI/CD job, what it does is it creates a pod for that job. But in this case, when we are saying we are creating pod for end-to-end tests, those pods are created using a container image called Kubekins K2E, which eventually ships the Kubetest2 binary to us. So that's how the Kubernetes project interacts with Kubetest2 for its end-to-end testing requirement. Now, what are the primary features of Kubetest2? Why Kubetest2 is good? So the first one is consistent cluster lifecycle. So what Kubetest2 does for us is it has codified this entire cluster lifecycle for us in its four different phases, from the build up and test and down phases of Kubetest2. So it's now easy for us to cover the entire lifecycle of a cluster for our test requirements. The second one is decoupled implementation of deployers and plug-and-play testers. So Kubernetes comes in different flavors for different operating system, for different distributions, or for different cloud platforms. And if not all, we would like to test at least some of those use cases. So Kubetest2 allows us to deploy cluster for some of those flavors of Kubernetes, as well as it allows us to expand Kubetest2 itself by writing different custom deployers for our other use cases that are not coming in pre. So as well as it does the same for testers as well. So we can also write our different implementations of testers. Reproducible CI and local testing experience. So not only Kubetest2 allows us to cover this entire test lifecycle in a CI/CD pipeline format, for example, in prow, but it also allows us to perform those kind of testing locally as well. All we have to do is just go ahead and install Kubetest binaries and whatever deployer and tester we require, and we can perform those tests locally as well. So Kubetest2 provides us both CI and local reproducible testing experience. Finally, we have support for Boscos. So Kubetest2 provides support for Boscos through prow. Boscos is a plugin that comes with prow CI/CD system for lease management, for cloud resources lease management. So for example, we have to run an end-to-end test which require cloud resources. So we do not have to worry about bringing our own cloud resources every time we want to run tests. What Kubetest2 will do is, if it is running inside a prow CI/CD system, it will try to ask Boscos whenever it requires, for example, a GCP project for running a test. It will ask Boscos, give me a GCP project for the duration of the test run. And then Kubetest2 will go ahead and create a cluster inside the GCP project, run the test, and then decommission it at the end of the test duration test run, and release it back to Boscos. Now we looked at the primary features, main benefits of Kubetest2, but why do we require bespoke deployer? We just touched that Kubetest2 allows us to expand itself by implementing different deployers and testers. The requirement is because Kubetest2 only supports GCP, GKE, and kind deployers entry. And since Kubernetes comes in different flavors, there is always a requirement to test Kubernetes on various different other platforms. So we can do that by writing our own bespoke deployers, since Kubetest2 allows us to do that. And we can write them and have them available as out-of-tree implementations. So let's try to do that. We have a demo here where we'll try talking about how to write a custom deployer for Kubetest2, and in this particular case for Azure Cloud, Azure Kubernetes Services. So we'll try to see how to write a deployer which will create AKS clusters for us. So in order to create a new deployer or extend Kubetest2 with a new deployer, all we need to do is to essentially implement this deployer interface. So This deployer interface has a few functions which we see here. And if we are able to implement these functions, that means we have a new deployer available. So let's see at the functions. Let's look at the first one, which is up. Up would contain the logic for bringing up a new cluster. So in this case, we are talking about AKS. Our up method would contain some logic that would tell how to spin up a new AKS cluster and whatever is required to do that. Similarly, down will do the opposite. It will contain the logic to tear down that AKS cluster in our case. Isup is a function that would check whenever we are deploying a new cluster, whether that is deployed successfully or not. We'll get that signal from isup method. And then we have dump cluster logs. Since one of the requirements for kubetes2 is not only to spin up a cluster and decommission it at the end of the test duration, but we also want to keep collecting the logs that are getting generated throughout the test run. So dump cluster logs help us to do that. And will contain the logic for that. And finally, we have the build method, which is an optional method because we actually get binaries from the upstream project as well. But if in this case, for example, we want to test code changes coming from PR, so every time we need fresh binaries, so build method would contain the logic on how to build binaries that are required, for example, in this case, to spin up a new AKS cluster. So let's start. First, we will clone the kubetes2 project from Kubernetes 6 GitHub organization. Once we have the repo cloned locally, we'll cd inside that. And the first thing we'll do is we'll run a make target called make install all. And that will install the kubetes2 and all the available deployers and testers for us in our local path. So if we see, when we clone the kubetes2 project, what we get in the root of the project is are these few folders here. So we see there are four folders here named kubetes2-gce, gke, kind, and noop. All these are of the format kubetes2-deployer. So these four folders correspond to four different implementations of deployers in this case. And similarly, we have four more folders down called kubetes2-tester-cluster-loader2-exec-ginkgo and node. And these correspond to four different tester implementations. So when we run make install all target, what we get is we get all those four deployers and testers available to us in our path. And kubetes2 start detecting them. Now, for us to create a new deployer for AKS, we'll need to follow the same pattern here. We'll start by creating a new directory of the format kubetes2-deployer. And since we are creating a deployer for AKS, let's call it AKS itself. So inside that directory, we'll try to create a folder structure, something like this. We'll have folder called deployer, which will contain a file called deployer.go. And deployer.go will be the place where we will implement our deployer interface. Then we'll have another folder called script, where we'll, in this particular, for the sake of demo, we'll use two bash scripts to spin up a new AKS cluster as well as to decommission it. So we will keep those two bash scripts in our script folder, and we'll later use them to implement our up and down methods in deployer.go. And finally, we'll have the main.go file here, which will become the entry point for the invocation of our new deployer. So let's look at the files. First, we have the scripts /kubeup.sh file. What it does, it looks for the AZ, the Azure Cloud binary, as well as the JQ JSON query binary in the path, as well as it looks for whether these few environment variables are set in the system host machine or not. So in this case, AZ VM size and kubeconfig. It also looks for environment variable for AZ resource group and AZ cluster name to check whether what resource group, what would be the name of the new resource group it will create, and what would be the name of the new cluster it will create. So if these environment variables are set, then it will go and check whether in actually in our Azure cloud subscription, do we really have a resource group by that name already available? And if not, it will go ahead and create one. And once we have the resource group available to us, it will go ahead and create a new cluster inside that. And once we have the cluster up and running, it will also go ahead and fetch the kubeconfig of this newly spun up cluster and save it locally for us on our machine. So that's what kubeup.sh does. Kubedown.sh does exactly opposite of kubeup.sh. It also looks for JQ and AZ binaries, those tools in our system, as well as those variables. And once everything is there, it goes ahead and delete the resource group, as well as followed by the Kubernetes cluster. Finally, we have the deployer.go file, which actually contains the implementation of our deployer interface. So this is a big file. It contains a lot of plumbing and a lot of utility functions. So for the purpose of this demo, we'll just look at the implementation of our major four or five methods that we require to implement our deployer interface. But if you want to understand or look at the entire code, that is available in the link, at the link in the footer. So here we see it's a deployer package. Among other modules, we are importing one of the modules here called package slash types. We have a few variables here. For example, we have a random postfix, which is used to create a random resource group name and random cluster name for every new run of the kubetest2. Every new run of our end-to-end test using this AKS deployer. So every time we run a new test, we would want to create a new cluster and a new resource group so that no two concurrent test runs conflict with each other. So that's where our random postfix is coming into the picture. We have a constant name, which is set to AKS here. So this is what we'll use to in our main.go file to actually invocate our new deployer with the name AKS. Finally, we have our next function here called buildenv, which is just a utility function here that that seeds these environment variables into our machine, AZ location, AZ resource group, cluster name, etc., which are required by our bash scripts. Then here we have the deployer struct. So here we have a deployer struct which takes all these fields called common options, logs there, override logs there, repo root, config path, etc., that is required to define a new deployer. And then we use this struct here to initiate a new deployer for us by passing values to the struct fields above. And so what this new function does is it returns a new deployer in instance to us, as well as also returns a bind flag function, which is a helper to actually create and add bind a flag set to our newly initiated deployer, which means whenever I will write kubetest2 AKS -help, I would be able to see a lot of flags available to my new deployer, and that is done by this bind flags helper function. Then we have the actual methods that we need to define for this newly initiated deployer. So here first we have the isup method. Isup method, inside that we are using our buildenv method to make all those environment variables available into our system. And then followed by that, all we are doing here is checking whether running a kubectl command called kubectl get nodes using the kubeconfig path that we will get from one of the environment variables that are set up above. And if it gives us a list of nodes, that means there is a cluster running. So it's a naive assumption, but it's good enough for our demo. Then we have our next function, next method called dump cluster logs, which is one of the requirements from kubetest2 to keep collecting logs from the test run throughout the duration. So what we do here in this method is we create a log directory, and then after creating that log directory, we run another kubectl command called kubectl cluster info dump, followed by the kubeconfig, which will just dump the entire cluster information in for us in our log directory above. Followed by that, we have another function called up. Here again, we are making all the environment variables available to us. When we are spinning up a new cluster and doing rest of the stuff there, we need to collect the logs here as well. So for that entire duration, since we require logs, we do that by this defer block. So what this does is, as soon as any part calls up, it will invoke and it will start collecting logs till the up function concludes it, whatever it needs to do, which in this case, it has to run the kubeup.sh bash script, which will go ahead and create the resource group followed by the cluster and set the kubeconfig inside our local machine. It will also go ahead and use our isup function to check whether whatever cluster that kubeup.sh script created is working properly or has been provisioned successfully or not. Then we have the down function, which is opposite to up. It also runs a bash script, but in this case, it go ahead and run the kubedown.sh script. And then finally, we have the kubeconfig function, which just looks for an environment variable called kubeconfig, if there, and returns back a path to that kubeconfig. And then the last file for our new deployer is main.go. This is the entry point. So here we import our kubetest2 AKS deployer, which we just created in the previous file, deployer.go. We import that here, and then using that, we create a new deployer here, giving it the deployer.name, which we had set to AKS, and passing it the new deployer we created in deployer.go. So with all those files, now what we have here at the root of our kubetest2 project is a new folder called kubetest2-aks, which contains all these files for us. And if we go ahead now and rerun the make install all target, it will now also install our new AKS deployer, and kubetest2 would be able to detect that as one of the available deployers to itself. We can start using that AKS deployer by a command something like kubetest2 AKS, giving it flags for up and down. And when we do that, what we see is kubetest2 creates a new run ID or instance for our test run. We can see it has created a new folder with that run ID, and it will keep collecting all the logs there. We also see all those environment variables are set there, and using those environment variables, it is creating a Azure resource group in West US2 location, followed by creating a Kubernetes cluster inside that resource group. And once the cluster is up and running, it also is fetching the kubeconfig from the cloud and making it available to us on our local machines. We can also see that kubetest2 has dumped the cluster logs to us in that path underscore run dir slash the run ID or the instance ID for this test run, followed by the cluster logs folder slash cluster info.log. And here we can see the entire logs of the newly spun up cluster. So with that, we come to the conclusion of our demo. So it is a note, kubetest2 also had a predecessor, actually has a predecessor called kubetest, because it's still in use in certain test scenarios in the upstream project. But the Kubernetes project is on its path from migrating from using kubetest to kubetest2 now. And that is what it recommends as well, because kubetest2 is more modular. It uses the plugin paradigm, which we saw we can go ahead and extend kubetest2 by implementing our own deployers and testers. And thus it provides us a simplified code structure. So with that, we are also at the end of our talk. If you want to try the new kubetest2 AKS deployer that we built as part of our demo, that's a link to that. If you want to just look at kubetest2 itself, you can check out sigs.kubetest2.io/kubetest2. The slides for this talk are available at psagu.com/assets/thatpath. And finally, if you want to contact regarding, or if you have any queries regarding this presentation or CUBE Test 2 or generally anything related to SIG testing, go ahead and reach out to folks at /SIG testing/SIG KTS infra/KTS.io, or you can ping me at psagu on same /KTS.io. That's my email and address. Thank you again for joining my talk, and I open the floor for questions. Thank you.